Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep.
Live in the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe, and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear for death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting right here on American Freedom Radio. What is American freedom? I was just thinking about this, like somebody asked me before, what is freedom, Vinnie? Because I'm of the opinion that we're all slaves and all forms of life are slaves to some other form of life. You know, lions have prides and there's some slave running lion that's in charge of that puppy, and ants have a queen and so does New Zealand. And just if we're all slaves, what the hell does freedom actually frickin' mean, right? And as the Founding Fathers said, it's eternal vigilance. That's it. You're free now to spend all your time protecting your freedom. That's exactly what it is, isn't it? Oh, you're so free. So free. Oh, my God. Speaking of free, I'm going to be some articles today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how heated it's going to get, but... Hopefully slightly more heated than my offices at the moment. And hopefully it's very cheap to heat. Now, anyway, John Key given Australia's highest honour. Or rather, John Key given highest Australian honour. Now, I know what you're thinking. What, John Key? That guy who in 8 years got a country from $8 billion into debt into $200
billion in a debt is receiving a friggin' award for his service to the country?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Now, the thing is, I'm just going to start reading it because it's, oh my God. Oh my God. Sir John Key.
Right, he already got knighted. Sir John Key.
I can't even say it without phlegm building up in my throat. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Just let me give you a bit of a background into why I feel so crazy today. Last 3 days in a row, I've been getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, loading up on coffee, and then spending all day editing my friend's video. And I finally finished yesterday after 3 frickin' days in a row working on it. Not including the fortnight at least over the last couple of months collectively that I put into that video, but in either case, I'm feeling a little under the weather because it's cold and there's no food in the house and we're broke and we couldn't pay our rent last week and we can't pay our rent this week and a whole bunch of people have stopped donating to the show and I keep getting abuse on YouTube all the time and I keep getting abuse on Facebook all the time. And people don't share my shows, and people don't watch my shows, and I see whole bunches of other people doing 4 minutes of very brief minor analysis of mainstream media articles, getting thousands upon thousands of hits in a day, and I do complete in-depth interviews with really important people, and I maybe get 1,000 hits in a month. people don't have the attention span and all of that kind of thing. Those of you who are sharing my shows, who are, you know, listening to them, thank you. Like, really, thank you. Because there's so many people who just don't. They don't care. It's like, oh, this guy's busting his ass trying to save humanity? Fuck him. But, you know, thankfully, the New World Order hasn't brainwashed us all to be really lazy, selfish scum, right? You know, some people are still generous, and I really like that about my listeners. Very, very good people. On with the article. Former New Zealand Prime Minister John Key is set to receive Australia's highest honour.
Oh, God, I can't even... I just got this twinge in my neck right then when we're reading that frickin' sentence.
Mr. Key will be appointed an honorary companion in the Order of Australia in Canberra on Tuesday. Canberra is the capital of Australia, much like Wellington is the capital of New Zealand, for those of you who don't know about capital cities of these nice little Commonwealth slave colonies we've got down here. Australia, named after AU, which is the symbol for gold, which is why it got its name, because it was a gold mining colony. Yep, that's right. After the Governor-General approved Malcolm Turnbull's recommendation to give him the accolade. Now, apparently Malcolm Turnbull's a bit of a corrupt scumbag, as is every Prime Minister Australia has ever had, theoretically. But anyway, John was an outstanding leader of his country. Oh, technically it's true, because the outstanding leadership that he showed this country is just beyond compare. And he is respected around the world for his influence in our region and beyond. Now, what's the definition of respect, I wonder, when you apply it to respecting John Key? Does respect exist if it's only one way? Like, I really respect you.
Yeah, well, I don't respect you or anything about you or anything you say. In fact, fuck yeah.
Now, anyway, he was also deeply committed to advancing the Australia-New Zealand bilateral relationship and pursuing our common interests in the region and internationally. They're both internationalists, sounds like. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If somebody is named Sir, watch out, all right? Because, my goodness, do these people who are psychopathic freaking control freaks love to give themselves accolades, love to pin medals on their chest, love to have, titles and so on and so forth? You know, they can't help it. They need it, all right? They need it. A pathological need for respect and idolization, and they have no way of earning those accolades, honestly. All right? Just trying to show you that. And to give an example, Sir Roger Douglas, those of you who aren't in New Zealand and weren't alive during the 80s perhaps, don't know who this guy is. Okay, he basically went, oh, well, you know all these really wonderful public services that you've got, New Zealand, that has zero unemployment, zero this, zero that, zero the other, like the perfect place to live, no poverty whatsoever.
We're going to get rid of all of that, and we're just going to bring in massive private banking cartels to issue our currency and buy up all of the remaining assets, so that everybody who is currently working in New Zealand and busting their ass will either have their industrial firm that they're working in shut down and put 100,000 people out of work, so that we can drive down wages, destroy workers' rights, and make sure that every single thing in this country costs a hell of a lot more tomorrow than it did today. Roger Douglas. Who then became Sir Roger Douglas after doing that. Okay? And you want another example? Okay, I'll give you another example. Sir Peter Jackson. I'm sure you all know who he is. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, that kind of thing. You know what he did in order to get The Hobbit here? People in this film industry in New Zealand, burgeoning film industry, right, used to have these things called employment rights. Okay? They used to get this thing called holiday pay.
Okay? They used, you know, they used to be employees, and employees had certain rights, certain benefits, that kind of thing. What Sir Peter Jackson did to this country in order to get the three Hobbit films here, which nobody liked, was he abolished, with the help of John Key, all workers' rights in the film industry in this country. All of them. No, you're all private contractors now. No, you have to do all your own taxes. No, you don't have 15-minute guaranteed breaks. No, you don't have this. Blah, 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 blah. Gone. So then Peter Jackson became Sir Peter Jackson. And then John Key gets the country into $100 billion in debt on the books, and the books are cooked, and $100 billion off the books, and those books are cooked too for derivatives debt, stands down as Prime Minister just in the same year, coincidentally enough, that New Zealand's starting to be investigated for massive fraud and money laundering, stands down and then becomes Sir John Key. And then not a couple of months later, less than half a year later, he gets the highest honour in the Australian, you know, it just, the things that we are taught to respect in this country and around the world, I think. We live in a globalised society now, I think we all accept that, are lies and scumbaggery, all right? That's what we're supposed to love, that's what we're supposed to respect, that's what we're supposed to look up to. They get all the titles. They get all the accolades. What are people like me or Penny Bright or any other activist in this country that actually gives, that actually cares, essentially, about anybody other than themselves, right? What do we get? We get called rent-a-mob. We struggle to survive on a daily basis. And people think we're crazy. Yeah, that's what you get. If you're a scumbag, psychopath, no conscience whatsoever, promoted to the Prime Minister, massive banking career, you get knighted, you get the highest honour in Australia. You see how the system works? Okay? The exact opposite way to how you think it should work is the way it does work. And people don't really get this because they're, oh, but that doesn't make sense. Why would ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery mother effers just like not be honest about how much badly scumbaggery they are? Why the charade? It's because if you don't run a charade on people, they don't support you and give you your pathological narcissistic supply. The Prime Minister said Mr. Key helped drive economic growth in Australia and New Zealand. I've got a couple of articles to read after this one, which will kind of really, really elucidate just how much our economy has grown since he became the Prime Minister. Oh, okay. What did he used to do for a living? Well, he sold derivatives on Wall Street and collapsed the global economy. What did he do before that? Well, he sold derivatives in Ireland and collapsed the Irish economy. Well, what did he do before that? Well, he sold New Zealand currency in New Zealand and collapsed the New Zealand economy. What did he do before that? Well, he got born. You know, the man's entire history is destruction, 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 the economy. That's his frickin' game. It's a maestro. This guy is the frickin' Wolfgang Mozart of scumbaggery. It's just, oh my God, the level of scumbaggery. Okay, people don't even comprehend this, and nor should they. All right, trust me. I comprehend only maybe 10% of the available scumbaggery, which is so much more than I'm even capable of tolerating without getting post-traumatic stress disorders, right? But these guys, they make me feel like I know nothing about scumbaggery. Like I've been ignoring reality my whole life. That's how bad these people are. And ensured his country played its part in tackling international security challenges by sending our SAS soldiers, who are basically, what would you call them? They're assassins. Okay? Just, for lack of a better word. Well, what do the SAS do? Well, they're some of the most highly trained, secretive, and most deadly soldiers in the world. And we send them over places to do peacekeeping, i.e. run around, do black ops, assassinate people, and then bind all of your SAS soldiers with contracts so that they can't talk about it. So that when they come home and they're so traumatized from the things that they've seen, after going through the grueling training that pushed them to their limits and past them and beyond them, to break them down and destroy everything that they are so that they can create something deadly. Right? Then they come home and they're not allowed to talk about these things that they have done with anybody. You know, I feel really sorry for a lot of the SAS soldiers, man. A lot of them become alcoholics. Right? Had a conversation with a couple of Māori boys who used to be in the army. One was a captain and the other fought in World War II. Killed 47 people. And he told me that he said it was like spending 47 years in jail. And the captain told me, "Why do you think we drink every night? So drunk that we can't even stay awake and black out, pass out." I go, "Why?" He says, "Because then we don't dream. Because it's in our dreams that the people we've killed and my best friend who died in my arms comes back. That's why I drink every night." And I'm sitting there just bawling my eyes out, you know. These people go through the worst kind of stuff, and they get sent to the worst places, and they get tossed on the side of the road like a used McDonald's wrapper. That's how much this country cares about its armed servicemen. It's not entirely dissimilar in the States, is it? You got the 1/4, I think, of the homeless population in the United States are veterans. Because when they come home from the war zones, War Department goes, "You know what? Veterans are actually a hell of a lot more effective in combat than these fresh grunts that we just trained. Why don't we try and make the veterans go back?" But the veterans don't want to go back. They're freaking scared, rightfully so, of getting shot. They're traumatized, rightfully so, from shooting people and kids and seeing their friends murdered in front of them. You know, this. That kind of thing. So how do we get the veterans to go back? Well, why don't we just put a black mark on their record saying that they're a pedophile or a thief or something like that? And that way, when they go for another job, pumping gas or anything else, you know, they can fly million-dollar helicopters. No problem. They can drive around an Abrams tank. They can level a city block by itself. But you can't give them a job pumping gas. And that's the reason why a lot of the veterans are homeless. It's because they would literally rather live on the street and face the elements and starvation than go overseas and continue to kill other people's kids. Now that is pain and suffering, ladies and gentlemen. And I think we avoid pain, we avoid suffering so often that when it really does come back, we don't freaking care about the people that it is happening to. Because we don't want to. Because it is painful to share others' pain. And you can't even take it away when you do that. But it does help. It does help when you share other people's pain and you help them to, you know, have their stories heard. I know. Lucy and I look forward to seeing more of John and Brona this side of the ditch, and perhaps John and I can venture out for another paddle before too long. What, like in a pool of New Zealander and Australian blood? Is that why you're paddling around, eh? When the amount of Australian killed in these alleged false flag attacks? Where no Muslim terrorist was. It turns out it's like Australian Special Forces or something like that attacking their own Australians. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right? It's a one-world system. Governor General Peter Cosgrove will invest Mr. Key. He will invest the investment banker.
With the insignia of his appointment at a government house ceremony on Tuesday afternoon.
Well, isn't that just lovely? Thank you very much. And moving on from that, this is how great Mr. Key has served New Zealand. It's from yournewswire.com. And I know people don't trust yournewswire.com either. I don't either. Okay, just to say that. However, after hearing the headline, New Zealand Prime Minister funneled $13.7 million in taxpayer money to Hillary Clinton, a whole bunch of other people went, "Oh my God, it's your Newswire. That's not credible. I can't even." And I sort of agree with them. But then I went, "Wait, hold on a second. I can confirm this. All right, I've got this thing called Google." Where you just type in Hillary Clinton, John Key, and press enter. And what happens? A hell of a lot of results come up from a whole bunch of different sources, all pointing out the exact same thing as yournewswire.com. All right? Ergo, it's a credible piece, and that's why I'm going to read it. New Zealand Prime Minister John Key was forced to resign after being caught giving $13.7 million in taxpayer money to the Clinton Foundation. And this is a claim. I don't know if he was forced to resign because, frankly, I think he just had better plans, you know, other stuff to screw with, other places and companies to destroy. And so what new place, you ask? What's he going to destroy next? A little formerly nation-owned airport called Auckland Airport, our largest international airport. He's now their CEO. What do you think is going to happen? Huh? A man with a track record of destroying every single business he's ever worked for, who's collapsed almost every single banking job and institution that he's ever been involved with? Well, he must be able to improve that company then, obviously, you know, because he's got business acumen. According to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, MFAT, John Key was forced to step down after he colluded with the National Party to funnel millions of taxpayer funds to the Clintons. He is now under investigation. ACCMag.com reports an MFAT spokesman confirmed to the NBR, that's the National Business Review, that between January 2010 and June 2016, $7.7 million of taxpayer funds had already been donated and another $6 million was to follow, keeping to a pledge to donate $13.7 million made by the government organization in 2013. ACT Party member David Seymour commented, "In a world where New Zealanders can crowdsource to buy a beach, it's not clear what role there is for the government to collect taxes and contribute it to a global charity which is more than capable of reaching out and raising its own money." The big question is, why is our government sending millions of dollars overseas while at the same time cutting funding for crucial services which desperately need the money here in New Zealand? I'll tell you why. It's called, wait for it, drum roll please, theft. Okay?
It's just that simple.
A whole bunch of people get their money forcibly taken off them, and then that money forcibly gets given to somebody else. What do you call that? It's called theft, all right? They may as well be doing it at the barrel of a gun. That's taxation for you, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why I believe in voluntary taxation, okay? If the government sent me a slip with all the possible things that it could spend my tax money on and ask me to tick boxes, healthcare, yep. Education, no. Nah. Why don't I want to fund public education, Vinny? Well, because they don't really educate people. In fact, healthcare, no. Let's get that across too. Why not funding the healthcare? Because it's the leading cause of death in the country, maybe. Interest to the debt on foreign bankers. No, I don't want my taxes to go to paying interest on debt to foreign bankers who created the money out of nothing. No. Military expenditure so that we can go and invade countries that can't defend themselves at the behest of the US. No. You see, you can run down the list of all the possible things your taxes would go toward, and I guarantee you, virtually everybody would go, no, 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 and the government would have no leg to stand on. Voluntary taxation, imagine that. The government would actually have to prove with statistics and evidence that they are spending people's taxpayer money on something that not only doesn't wind up killing them, but is actually being run in an uncorrupt fashion. And I think that it should be optional. You know, do you have an option to pay your taxes? No, everybody has to pay their taxes. Well, see, how does that make me not a slave? Right? If I work really hard and then a lot of my hard earnings go directly to the government who doesn't do anything for that money a lot of the time, how am I free again? You know, doesn't make any sense. To fully understand how Clinton charities operate and decide whether a single taxpayer dollar should have been donated, we first need to look at some of the controversies. Over the past 15 years, the Washington Post can reveal the charities have raised over $2 billion, mainly from big corporates, foreign governments, and political donors. Do you know what that's called, ladies and gentlemen? A slush fund. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton.
Hello.
I would like to pass a couple of pieces of legislation that will basically undermine your country, destroy its people, and steal a hell of a lot of money for them and destroy a lot of your essential infrastructure. And it'll make me a lot of money, but essentially it won't make anybody else any money. What can you do for me?
Well, if you give us a couple of $1 million, we'll pass the legislation for you once we get elected.
Thank you, Mrs. Clinton.
You're welcome.
Many have called the contributions pay for play, where powerful donors exchange funds for future political favors. A bit more concise than my sum up, but speeches make up a large part of the revenue stream, with the Clintons earning hundreds of thousands per speech from the likes of big Wall Street banks, including Goldman Sachs, as revealed by WikiLeaks. Clinton's charity has confirmed that in 2012, Qatar donated $1 million to the Clinton Foundation, raising a question of ethics after Hillary promised that while she was serving as Secretary of the State, donations from foreign governments would no longer be accepted due to the potential influence on foreign policy. But of course, that doesn't really matter because she meets with foreign dignitaries in secret, which is a violation of the Logan Act, which means you're not allowed to meet with any foreign dignitaries while you're working for the US government unless given prior approval by the State Department. Why was that law passed? Because when you're allowing your employees who are serving your country to have secret meetings with people who serve other countries, it breeds
corruption!
It has also been revealed the Clinton charities utilized the devastating Haiti earthquake to implement disaster capitalism. This is known as shock doctrine. So what you do is you use a earthquake weapon. Boom! Whole country just in ruins. And then, conveniently, the supply ships that you have loaded up with blankets, food, etc., will then come on in, right? Way, way too prepared for an earthquake that came out of nowhere, wouldn't you think? Happened in New Zealand, happened after the Boxing Day tsunami, happened after Fukushima, happened, you know, almost every majorly advertised, and when I say advertised, I mean repeated in the mainstream media over and over and over and over again, earthquake is often has a little bit of a connection with the use of some kind of geomagnetic weapon. All right? Even, what was his name? The Venezuelan prime minister even said that he believed that his country, when it was hit by a massive earthquake, was actually hit by an earthquake weapon. Oh, no, sorry. He claimed that Haiti, when it was hit by an earthquake weapon. Okay, that's the prime minister of a country saying that on his national television show. You know, it's and everybody just goes, oh, he's crazy, the communist.
You know, and he is a communist, and his country is falling apart, but that doesn't mean it wasn't an earthquake weapon. And it doesn't mean the United States ain't falling apart too, you know. It's like, well, let's throw stones while we're living in a glass house. This sounds like a freaking brilliant idea. Funneling funds into Haiti under the pretense of aid, but only for the funds to flow away from the Haitians desperately in need, and instead to companies who had made previously large donations to the Clinton Foundation. And incidentally, all of these were mining companies. Mining companies, mind you, that the Haitian government had denied permission to open up giant open cast mines in their country to extract raw mineral resources. After the earthquake, all of those approvals came through. Just like that. Coincidence? I don't believe in it. Then there is the $145 million pay-for-play contributions made to the Clinton Foundation by shareholders of the Canadian company Uranium One, a mining company with concessions in Kazakhstan and the US. Uranium One sought to sell these concessions to the Russians, but the deal had to be approved by a government committee due to the implications to national security. In return for the contributions and the extra $500,000, Bill Clinton received in speaking fees from a Russian investment bank, the 20% purchase of U.S. uranium assets by the Russians was approved. Knowing this purchase would mean the production of more nuclear weapons against America's own interests. Look, anybody who thinks that the Russia and the United States aren't working together, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay? Just have a look. What's the Russian logo? It's a two-headed eagle. What's the two-headed eagle also famous for? The 33rd degree of Freemasonry. Order out of chaos. Okay? Now, which country in the world and its capital city has the most highest concentration of Freemasonic lodges in the world? Turns out it's Washington, D.C., and is Washington, D.C.'s roading system designed in the exact shape of a giant pentagram? Well, yes. Yes, it is. Oh, but there's they're both big enemies with Russia. They're just playing you. The bankers finance both sides. They get both the politicians in. And then they tell those politicians, look, act like your enemies, okay? That way everybody won't reckon that you are their enemy, okay? Both of you. Putin used to work for the frickin' KGB. I mean, didn't anybody who is now going all in for Putin, oh, I watch RT, it's so wonderful. It's fake alternative media. There is so much fake alternative media out there that give you 90% truth sandwiched with a beautiful 10% of lies so that all the facts that they report to you, while they're facts, their conclusions that they base on those facts and the context upon which those facts appear will be muddied. And thus it leaves you feeling confused, incapable of discerning truth and fact from the fiction that you're looking at. This is the problem, is that people go from knowing they can't trust the mainstream media to mistakenly thinking they can trust the alternative media to then going, oh, I can't trust anybody anymore. That's how they get you. Okay? That's how you get people who go from the Church of Satan to become born again Christians, or born again Christians who become Satanists and then give up and become atheists or whatever. They're trying to corral people's beliefs. I think, because beliefs, you can manipulate people with them pretty easy. You can't manipulate people with knowledge, on the other hand. That's a real tough one to do. Hey, I'm going to give you the complete and utter truth from start to finish, and I'm not going to manipulate you. Well, what does this guy want? As opposed to, I'm going to tell you the truth and you better believe it. Otherwise, you know, yeah, the Muslims are going to invade and just kill us all. Look, the Muslim invasion is a planned agenda. Okay, the UN just released on its own website that the lowering populations in the United States and Europe due to fluoride being the worst frickin' spermicide and fertility reducer in the world. And people go, oh, but they don't have fluoridated water in Europe. Yeah, but they put it in all the salt and all the products and things like that. They haven't gotten it out. All right. Because your birth rate drops so massively, the UN's now saying, oh, we need to flood these countries with Muslim immigrants. You know, it's gonna freak everybody out. Huge cultural backlash is gonna happen, and it's gonna instigate a war. All right, and that's what these people want. They want the white people fighting with the Arabs. They want the Christians fighting with the Muslims. Just so that we'll think that we're the enemies of each other, rather than knowing that it turns out that both our countries and our religions and the Muslim countries and the Muslim religions all happen to be controlled by Freemasons. Incidentally, you know, oh, didn't see that one coming. Onto another article here. What was it? I wanted to actually get these two articles out of the way here, because it was like, oh, bro, somebody told me the other day about buying a home or whatever, and I was just like, I did a quick Google. New Zealand housing most unaffordable in the world.
In the world! You get cheaper to buy a house in Calcutta.
The New Zealand housing most unaffordable in the world, The Economist. It's official, New Zealand has the most unaffordable housing in the world, according to The Economist. Across five different measures, New Zealand has come out on top of three of the five measures of the most expensive global housing market. How did this frickin' happen? Well, New Zealand, like Canada and a number of other countries, say, hey, look, are you a person that we haven't run a background check on to see if you're working for foreign intelligence or organized crime?
No.
Well, why don't you just give us money and we'll give you citizenship, bro? That way you can buy up all the houses and businesses in this country that you want. And they'll be logged as being bought by New Zealand citizens. And what does that do to the housing market, you ask, having a whole bunch of foreign intelligence agencies and organized crime coming in, purchasing up houses that have been there for a long time and leaving them empty? It forces the overall prices of all real estate to go up, which then, because homeowners have to pay rates on a percentage basis based upon the value of their home, they are then forced as well to put the rents up for all of the slaves that live in these places. I am a renting slave. Okay? There was an article that came out nearly 10 years ago that said 50% of Aucklanders, over 50%, will never own their own home. They will rent for their entire existence. They will die not having more than enough money to pay the rent more than a week or two in advance. Okay? That is the reality of this country now. And that makes me very, very sad and very angry. That's something that only a generation ago was something everybody could afford, something everybody could achieve if they actually wanted to, no longer exists. And possibly never will again. New Zealand has had the highest rise in house prices, costs the most against the average person's income, and now has the biggest difference between house prices and renting prices. In the latest edition of The Economist, figures show that in the past 46 years, New Zealand's house prices have risen by more than 8% on average per year. Does that sound like frickin' insane to you? It's a huge amount of growth, okay? And in economics, in business, when you see any business or economy that is growing at breakneck speed like that, it's called a front, okay? That means that there's something going on, some income that's off the books, or some kind of corruption or scumbaggery going on. Now, basically, I'll just give you the very short version. Banks can create your mortgages out of nothing, give it to you, and you have to pay it off for the rest of your frickin' life with virtually no chance of ever actually paying it off completely. Okay? Hence the problems we've currently got. It's a trend repeated among other first world countries who all have extremely similar banking systems run by Rothschild central control banks. including the United Kingdom, which had a 7.65% average rise annually over the same time frame, and Australia, where house prices rose more than 6.4% a year on average. According to The Economist, those numbers have remained solid in the past 7 years, with New Zealand's numbers showing a 7.9% consistent increase per year since 2009. Now, what happened in 2009? It was the year after the global financial crisis,
and the year we elected a Wall Street banker to be our prime minister.
The Economist puts this trend down to a growing horde of rich foreigners. Quote, coming to New Zealand because they see it as a, quote, safe haven. In 2016, overseas investors bought just 3% of all properties, but their purchases were concentrated at the expensive end of the market, which is growing fast. Sales involving homes with more than New Zealand $1 million increased by 21%. Now, these guys just try to go, oh, it's only because there's a few rich people coming in here buying up the expensive houses that affect the entire economy. Really, 3% of the purchases, right? The findings don't get any better for New Zealanders, showing that in the last 10 years, the average price against a person's income has risen dramatically. The place where I'm living now, they raised our rent twice in the first 2 years living here, right? And we're in our third year living here now. And an article came out earlier this year saying, watch out, renters. Now the rates are being increased by the local corrupt council, who incidentally got $500,000 or something like that. No. I think it was about $200,000 donated by an anonymous Chinese organized crime donor. Okay, they now run the city. Okay, and it's specifically the People's Liberation Army, intelligence, and the Chinese triad organized crime who are doing this. And that's been exposed in Ian Wishart's book, which I narrated a few chapters of, called Totalitaria. And if you go and listen to those videos, just search Totalitaria, Vinnie Eastwood should come up with it. Listen to those first few episodes, and he really goes in detail as this thing called the Sidewinder Report, which is a Canadian investigation into Chinese organized crime and People's Liberation Army intelligence, infiltrating Canada, buying citizenship, then buying homes, buying businesses, and hey presto, 80% of downtown Vancouver is Chinese owned. All right? And that was like in 2005. That's over 20 years ago. How much do you think they own now? Okay, these are people working for a foreign communist state who want to do this to you. And they're not even the worst ones that are doing it, is the thing. This is just an example of the infiltration that we face, right? It's not about the Chinese. It's not about the Americans. It's about the system. The system of global enslavement and scumbaggery. Who do you think financed Chairman Mao to take over China with 1% popular support with all these free weapons that just turned up that they could intimidate the entire country with? Rothschild bankers. Interestingly enough, we're all being played against each other. You can't hate the Chinese. You can't hate the Russians. You can't hate the Americans. You can't hate the New Zealanders. What you can hate, though, and I encourage people to use the word hate on occasion, only to describe that which truly deserves it. Scumbaggery. Now, in 2016, the findings don't get any better for New Zealanders. The numbers are backed up by the Demographia International Housing Affordability Study released in January, showing Auckland is ranked the fourth least affordable housing market in the world. The average house price in Auckland is now more than $1 million. In completely unrelated news, want an affordable house? Try Post Quakes Christchurch. Somebody said this to me. I was like, oh, man, I'll never be able to afford a house in my own country. I'm going to be a slave renting off of foreigners for the rest of my life. My landlord's a foreigner. But does he come here? Does he even live in the country? No. He gets local New Zealand slaves who work for Barford and Thompson to come over here and inspect the house every 3 months. to make sure it's clean, you know, make sure we're not screwing it up. Just unfrickin' believable. The sort of invasion of privacy that has for me, you know, I'm not really, I mean, it's good to get reminded that, you know, you need to give the place a good spick and span clean over a couple of times a year. But it's more the fact that it's a reminder that this is not your home. It belongs to a Chinese national who lives in China and simply collects your money for the Chinese People's Army intelligence and triads, and uses a pittance of that money to pay local New Zealanders who do the job that they can't be bothered doing to keep the other New Zealand slaves who are renting in line and don't threaten your investment. This is where I live, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure a lot of you live in this situation too, don't you? It's fucking disgusting. Christchurch is the place to go for affordable housing if a report released at the weekend is anything to go by. Oh, massive disaster zone. That sounds like a great place to live. Who was it? You keep telling me. And a bunch of my mates and things like that, they hear about this place down the line or whatever, it's real cheap and such and blah, blah, blah. The only reason why things are cheap enough to afford anymore for the average person is because the average person cannot afford anything good anymore, because all of our wages have been devalued, our currency has been devalued, every single asset that the country ever had that was built up over generations of people's taxation and work for the country no longer exists. That's why. It's actually really upsetting me, come to think of it. I'm just thinking about all my countrymen and they've got no place to live. Got the biggest homeless population per capita in the world. You know, more than India. Does this strike you as a beautiful, great place to live? Where the gap between rich and poor just ever keeps getting wider and wider. Do you know what despotism is? Despotism is when you are ruled by a despot who controls everything, doesn't give you any rights, has huge amounts, more power, more wealth, and everything than you do, and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay? It's a despotic ruler. And it's not entirely dissimilar from how New Zealand is governed. Not entirely dissimilar from how any country is governed, come to think of it. The Dune Monitor in Greater Christchurch Regeneration Report. Monitoring Greater Christchurch Regeneration Report. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Collates data in six key areas as the southern city continues to recover from the quakes of 2010 and 2011. Bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is a country that hasn't recovered by earthquakes that happened half a decade ago. Why? Maybe it had something to do with the fact that we had a prime minister who was more interested in ousting Environment Canterbury, which actually ran all the resource allocations for the region, and then instead of denying, in the middle of a drought, a whole bunch of incredibly National Party-connected farmers from being able to use more than their fair share of water, they get in Dame Margaret Baisley. You remember what I said about when somebody becomes Sir or something like that? The same goes if you named Dame. Dame Margaret Baisley comes in, takes over ECAN, and then basically it's a coup against the entirety of the governance of Christchurch. And then, coincidentally, it gets hit with an earthquake weapon. How do I know that? Well, did you know that there's a HAARP facility at Birdlings Flat, 15 minutes drive from Christchurch? You didn't, did you? Did you hear the 40 mainstream media reports on the day of the quake of fireballs that were producing sonic booms that were seen in the sky? Do you know that a fireball that like an asteroid or whatever, like fall into Earth, can't produce a sonic boom? You know why? Because it's traveling at 30,000 miles an hour, bro. You have to break the speed barrier to speed up in order to create a sonic boom. Okay, it's that thing with when Superman's flying or whatever, you know, he goes, boom, boom, those are sonic booms. And Quake measured at an exact, you know, 10 kilometer depth. incidentally, the exact depth that you need to get the harp weapon working. You know, it's just coincidence. It was also a coincidence that 9 US congressmen happened to be in New Zealand, including the head of the Federal Emergency Management Association, FEMA. And it's also a coincidence that all those congressmen who were here to have a big meeting with the Prime Minister, which was secret, got on a plane, but not the Federal Emergency Management guy, who stayed behind, and an hour or two later after the plane had left, Christchurch gets hit with a massive earthquake, which was incidentally the most convenient timing ever for the New Zealand Navy, who were just so happening to perform earthquake drills in Lyttelton Harbour, not 15 minutes drive from Christchurch, and were loaded up with blankets and food and disaster relief stuff. The coincidences just keep getting bigger. All right. And the fact that that's the only place,
the only place
where New Zealanders can now afford to live. It says housing affordability in Greater Christchurch has been improving since 2014. The average weekly rent has continued to fall, with the proportion of private bonds lodged for weeks lodged for rents below $400 a week increasing. For buyers, Christchurch experienced the lowest house price growth among 15 areas in New Zealand between 2014 and April 2017, the report says. For 77.8% of renting households in Canterbury, buying was unaffordable in the June 2015 quarter, down from 84.3% in the September 2010 quarter. Homes are more affordable for first-time buyers in Christchurch because average household incomes in Canterbury have grown faster than the cost of housing since the 2010 and 2011 earthquakes, the report says. The earthquakes of 2010 and 11 damaged about three-quarters of Canterbury's housing stock. The population of Greater Christchurch dropped sharply in the first 2 years following the initial 2010 earthquake, but by 2016 it had fully recovered and exceeded the 2010 population by 5.2%. In the central city, however, there are still 32.3% fewer residents. A third less residents in the central city, you know, just, oh God, Christchurch is nice, bro. You ever been there? Whew. Beautiful. These big rolling hills on the ends, huge stretched plains that just go on, that just end up in these beautiful snow-capped mountains. You know? It's just beauty everywhere you look. And when I heard that the quake happened, I was just like, oh, no. Oh, no. The population has also become more diverse with the influx of construction workers. Now, incidentally, when you've got what do they say? Three-quarters of Canterbury's housing damaged. You have an influx of construction workers, and they say, oh, that's helping to increase our population. That's helping to improve the economy. It's what's known as the broken window fallacy. Okay, now theory goes that if you break a window and then go to the person whose window you just broke and then offer to fix it for them, that you are actually not contributing value. You're instead destroying it because it costs more to replace the thing you destroyed than it does to just leave it the hell alone. Okay, and this is how the economy is having the books cooked all the frickin' time, man. All the frickin' time, eh? Very difficult to get positive news out of this country, man. All I see is negativity. It's nastiness. Maybe I'm not in the best mood today either. You can't help that, can you, Vinny? So, ladies and gentlemen, please go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and support me. Like, damn it! Please support me! Please! There's only mainstream media in this country, and they're just reporting everything that is full of crap, and it's depressing everybody who looks at it because it's lies. They're not having their voice of reason reflected back to them. And people like me who actually are trying to get the facts out there, trying to tell people the truth, I'm not worth supporting, apparently. You know? If I don't have food, nobody cares. If I don't have rent, nobody cares. Right? That's kind of like how it feels sometimes. But I do know that people do care, and I do want to thank every single one of you who does donate regularly through the Patreon and the PayPal and the Kiwi Bank at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll be back right after the break with more news.
American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology, they have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us with free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does.
Well, they never sent so hung up or cut off their guests. Well, that's no fun, is it?
Well, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shills and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead.
So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was hurting myself and now.
Hey, 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 baby.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, this is a little bit of a new format that I am testing out and that kind of thing. And I know people prefer 4-minute videos rather than 55-minute videos. And, you know, you subscribe to channels who do that. It's okay. I can give you a little bit of information, maybe a little bit of truth is what you need. And going in depth and really trying to get your head around something is just something a lot of people are not interested in doing. All right, I understand that only about maybe 1% of the population would really even be able to even understand this show, and only about 1% of them would even be able to stand it, you know? Like, you know, see right there, just having a righteous cackle. People don't like that. Okay, so I'm going to read two older articles now. I actually wanted to read them out at one point on the show, but I ran out of time. But the good thing about reading these out loud and debunking them as you go is that the vast majority of the time, the lies and methodology by which the lies are fused and destroyed and basically, I don't know what the term is. Do they come together? Do they nexus themselves? I don't know what the precise term is. But there's a similar methodology between lots of the BS that you see in all mainstream media, pretty much. Okay? Very similar themes, and particularly if you're dealing with one particular topic, like cannabis or fluoride or vaccines or chemtrails, they're often very copy-paste, in some cases literally copy-paste, propaganda pieces that are so easy to see through if you know what you're looking at, okay? A lot of people do not know because, obviously, mainstream media are going to tell you, hey, this is how we lie to you. This just doesn't work that way, bro. Okay, so on with the first one. Who will be able to get cannabidiol? Is it cannabidiol or cannabidiol? I like it. I like the sound cannabidiol. Yeah. Sounds wonderful, actually. Sounds quite tasty.
You know, that's something you'd order at a restaurant. Gaston, have you got any cannabidiol?
Why, yes, sir. We actually just brought some fresh stuff in from France this morning.
It wasn't a French accent. I love British villains. Now, who will be able to get cannabidiol prescribed by a doctor and when? He's got a nice big picture here of the medical cannabis protest, which I was invited to but didn't attend. I was trying to edit a video that I've been working on for very long, and I apologize for that, but I did go to the last one and made a nice video for them that, again, nobody bothered to watch. Is this a recurring thing? Am I depressing you, ladies and gentlemen? I'm sorry. I'm not feeling terribly happy. And, in fact, I'm very hungry, and my wife just bought me a pie, which I can't eat on air because I can't talk, and I don't have a guest because both of my guests didn't show up. And the last 3 days I've been busting my ass since, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, fueled on coffee like you wouldn't believe in order to get a video finished for a good friend of mine. So you'll have to forgive me if I feel a little – oh, and we don't have enough money to pay the rent. And we don't know how we're going to get groceries for the week, and we haven't paid the internet bill or the power bill. My wife starts a new job next week, so that'll bring in some extra money. But folks, I really just please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and just start giving a dollar a week into that KiwiBank account, you know? And if it's not just a matter of, oh, Vinny's doing the right thing, he deserves something for the huge amount of efforts that nobody else in this country is making or publicizing in any way, shape, or form, if that means that I don't deserve any help from you, monetary or otherwise, tell me what will motivate you to support me. Okay, if you go, Vinny, I'll tell you what, if you stop doing 55-minute videos and just do 4 minutes so that it can really easily show it to other people who don't have an attention span or don't want to listen to anything for more than a couple of minutes at a time, because the news, well, this is the thing. The reason why the news holds your attention is because every 30 seconds they say, and now this. Every 30 seconds or so, it's changing from this to that to that. It gives you no time to concentrate. And as a result, the parts of our brains that pay attention for more than 30 seconds atrophy like a muscle not being used. And so when people sit down and finally listen to an episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show after saying, oh, this is all about conspiracy theories, without ever listening to a single episode, you go, oh, my God. There's actually some hell of a lot of information on here. A lot of stuff that I didn't know. A lot of stuff I didn't think about. I might actually keep listening. I might learn something for a change, as opposed to only a few minutes of telling me something I kind of vaguely already know and not really following the thought to its logical conclusion, you know? But, of course, it's a struggle, isn't it? You try and tell people the truth, they don't want to hear it. Trust me, I know. I've been doing this for 10 years. People do not want to hear the truth. They don't like facts. They prefer opinion and belief, okay? Because when you're just talking facts, they can't argue with you because they know that you're right. And they don't like that. They don't like having to listen to somebody else who's correct. And that's why I love the listeners of this show, man, because you actually do want to learn. And you go, and a lot of the guests that we have on here, they told me after the shows that the amount of subscribers that they had from that show on the YouTube channel went up massively. The amount of hits that went to their website went up massively. Did the amount of hits on my video or my show go up massively? No. Okay. Am I really sad about that? Absolutely. You know, it's a bugger when you're working really, really hard and don't get appreciated. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, if people did appreciate me too much, it would lessen the motivation, methinks. It's like, you know, there's this whole concept that you need to keep motivated. And in my opinion, the one of the greatest ways to keep motivated is knowing that although people aren't helping me, in a lot of cases, at all, and never will, every single person that I help on this show does, in fact, get helped. I can make a difference in people's lives. And I would really appreciate it if people would try to make a difference in mine by giving me $1 a week, $1 a month. $100 a month would be really nice, actually, right about now. I'm actually just trying to hold it together because it's things are really, really hard right now in this house. The wheels are in motion to allow doctors to prescribe cannabis-based products as a medicine, but it is unclear how long it will be before they can do so regularly. Every single time I see a news story about, oh, the cure for cancer is being developed, oh, we got this new promising drug or whatever, this is unrelated, by the way, that drug and that cure never gets heard again. All right, so when I'm looking at articles like this, when they go, oh, we're going to have cannabis soon, and so on and so forth, and it can do all these things, I'm like, never going to hear it again, am I? On top of procedural steps needed to change the rules, a more difficult issue is the lack of availability of products that meet New Zealand requirements. New Zealand requires one thing, weed. And you know what the easiest plant in the world to grow is in any climate? I'll give you three guesses, but you're only going to need one. Weed! Associate Health Sinister, Peter Dunn, who apparently never finishes, just the person who I hate more than John Key, and I use the word hate operatively because I hate positively. I only hate that which is pure evil. Because it gives me, what does my hate give me? What has my hate for Peter Dunn actually ever done for me? What has my hate for John Key ever actually done for me? Other than give me a lot in common with other people who know what they're talking about in terms of politics in this country. You know, maybe my hate hasn't actually given me anything. Other than telling people who think this way that you're not the only ones. Okay. Your hate is justified. These people has come. He announced on Friday that restrictions will be removed around cannabidiol, CBD. I love it. I'm going to work that into a song or somewhere. Cannabidiol. A substance with therapeutic value found in cannabis, but with little to no psychoactive properties. Now, I remember interviewing Matt Bowden, one of the creators of Party Pills and synthetic cannabis and stuff like that. I don't know what people's opinions of that stuff is. I don't like it. But he was in Ireland this one time. And they banned all psychoactives there. And I found that interesting that all the active psychos decided to ban the psychoactives. You know, didn't see that coming. Up until now, CBD, otherwise known as the Central Business District, has been classed as a controlled drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act. The 76, 78? We haven't revised our drug laws in 40 years, since before I was even freaking a zygote. All right, like, bro, that's how backward this place is. Hate this country sometimes, man. Hate it, but only because of people like this are in charge of creating its policies. People like Peter Dunn need to have their political career end, okay, in as quick and succinct a fashion as possible, possibly followed by a treason trial and execution. But you know, I'm getting my hopes up. Cabinet has decided it should cease to be a controlled drug. That means doctors will be able to prescribe CBD to their patients, and it can be supplied the same way as other prescription medicines. Now, in case you don't know, folks, Kiwis I'm talking about specifically, the Misuse of Drugs Act already had outlined in its legislation that if a doctor wanted to prescribe it to you, they fucking could. But do any fucking doctors prescribe any weed to anybody who freaking asks for it in this country, even though it's legal to do so? No. Why? Because they go, oh, well, I'll have so many stoners wanting to come to my practice wanting weed. Yeah, oh, what a terrible thing. You'd have people come into your practice getting medicine? You're a doctor. You don't have to put up with that. medicine. What does it even mean? Is the definition of medicine not giving a fuck? Like, bro. Oh, my God. Give me a second, please. When will it cease to be a controlled drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act? There is no timetable.
What a big surprise!
But Dunn's office is saying, as soon as possible, in air quotes, as soon as possible. God, just like, seriously, listen to Peter Dunn or John Key, Obama, you know, speak. It just cracks me up, bro, because it's just the most blatant lies and misrepresentations and scumbaggery that you ever see. You ever listen to somebody, but you're not actually listening, you're just waiting for them to say something that you disagree with so you can choose to stop listening to them? That's me and Peter Dunn, that's me and John Key, except I continue to listen to them. And then expose their scumbaggery after every single word that they say. I don't know why I do this. Doesn't actually really give me much pleasure. Certainly isn't profitable. It needs to be done, and somebody's got to do it. A lot of times in this country, you know, I see media articles come out, and I see a lot of the activist community doing what I consider the real work. Going into the legislation with a fine-tooth comb, a pencil and a ruler, and so on and so forth, and finding out and deconstructing everything that these pieces of legislation freaking actually say, you know, because they don't write in English. They write in legalese, okay? It's a totally different language. And ultimately, when you're dealing with a cult will always develop its very own language so that members who are not part of the cult won't understand what the hell they're talking about, so that the cult members, when they're out in public, can continue to communicate with each other without being exposed for the cult that they are. That's why a lot of cultists deny being in a cult, because they've got their own language which tells them that the cult is not a cult. Legalese. The legal system, government, these are cults. How do I know that they're cults? They've got a central authority figure. They ostracize outsiders. They're often held in places that have fluorescent lighting and involve a lot of mindless repetition. Okay? These are cult indoctrination techniques, and I'm pretty sure all of you have gone through them, just like I did through public school. And now you're all suffering a slightly watered-down version of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, one of the symptoms of which is learned helplessness. So that because you've been taught over your lifetime that nothing you do can change what these people can do to you, you stop trying to stand up for your rights. You stop trying to fight back against them because you've learned through the exercise of power against you that you were incapable of changing, that to try and challenge authority is not only a bad idea, but something that will never work. And this is something that cult indoctrination techniques are used specifically to instill into the population so that these scum can continue to rule over us without much resistance. And they've been doing, sad to say, a remarkable job. And folks, I don't know how to untraumatize you, okay? I don't even know how to untraumatize myself. I'm dealing with really, really bad traumas in my life. And when I say dealing with, I mean doing the exact same thing that every other person with complex PTSD does, trying to push it into the side, trying to avoid those situations again, and trying to not bring them up again, all right, because they're too painful to really revisit. And that's why traumatized people are so easy to control. Okay, that's why they become counselors and mediators and things like that, because instead of resolving their own issues, because their brain tells them they can't, they try to help other people. It's the precise same thing what I'm doing here right now. I'm acting out of a mental disorder that is caused by trauma by the state. Most of us are. And we better get wise to that fact, that our own minds have been programmed to work against us. And that through a long period of time and hardship, we may be able to recover. May. Most people never recover from the traumas that they suffer in their life. Never. Mostly because they don't believe that they can and they never try. Dunn's spokesman said a regulatory change was needed, not a legislative one. So it could be done relatively quickly. Now, he said regulatory change, not a legislative one. Legalese language. What does that mean? Technically, I don't know. It could be something to do with the fact that it's already legal to give weed to patients as a doctor. Already legal. But the regulations, on the other hand, prevent them from ever doing it. And the, what would you call them? Sorry, I'm very, very starving right now. It's actually very difficult to think when you don't have food. Coffee instead then. What are some of the other hurdles, other than Peter Dunn's dead body being driven over by a concrete mixing truck? For a doctor to be able to prescribe CBD, it will have to have 2% or less of other cannabinoids. Dunn said there was a, quote, limited range of CBD products made available that were made to a suitable quality. Oh, you're so obsessed with quality, aren't you? It couldn't be maybe you're using quality in air quotes here and the term limited in more air quotes here as an excuse for why there's actually going to be no movement on this issue until Peter Dunn dies of a coronary. You know, let me start again. Clinicians would be likely to only prescribe products made to quality manufacturing standards, Dunn said. Could patients just import their own CBD product or maybe grow weed themselves for free in their backyard with the beautiful New Zealand sun that has extra UV radiation that comes through it thanks to the hole in the ozone layer? Which, incidentally, you know why New Zealand's got the strongest weed, ladies and gentlemen? The cannabis plant reacts to protect itself from radiation, UV radiation specifically, by growing extra cannabinoid crystals on its bud to reflect the sunlight. Hence, if you grow weed outdoors in a country like New Zealand that has a massive hole in the ozone layer that can burn you if you're out in the sun for more than 5 minutes at a time in the middle of summer, you're going to have some pretty strong ganja, bro. And we do. Not that Peter Dunn really gives a crap about that. God, I hate this guy. And could patients just import their own CBD product? In that case, the patient's clinician would still need to get Ministry of Health approval to prescribe the product, and an import license would be needed. There's the correction, sorry. It is legal for a doctor to prescribe you cannabis in any form, but he has to get Ministry of Health approval. And since the 1970s, when the Misuse of Drugs Act was brought in, do you know how many permissions have been given up until very recently? Zero. Now, a couple of people Recently, I think maybe it's only been in the last maybe year or two that the Ministry of Health has been making exceptions because, you know, it got legalized in America, legalized and blah, 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 blah. All sorts of things are coming out and it's all in the media. They legalized in Australia, you know, and we're so far behind the eight ball here because we're basically a corrupt island boss hog nation. Man, I'm really insulting to New Zealand, aren't I? And New Zealanders should do that more often. Now, so what's the point? According to Dunn, the change will streamline the process. Quote, streamline the process. I hate it when they use air quotes for things that Peter Dunn says because I can hear them in his voice, in my head, and I want to kill something. So violent. Not enough weapons. For access to suitable products when they become available, if they become available. He talked about one product called Epidiolex. Epidiolex sounds like a very fancy wristwatch, which is in clinical trials. Clinical trials? Well, I hate it when they talk about that. Oh, we're going to make trials. Okay. Ancient pharaohs have been dug up out of their tombs with weed on them. Okay? What are you going to do? Put the mummy in handcuffs? Throw them in death row? You don't need testing. Nature has tested it. It's tried and true. Everybody freaking knows that weed is good for you. Well, when I say everybody, I mean people who aren't freaking retards who believe what the government and Peter Dunn says. It takes time for products to go through the research and developmental processes. Ugh. Still hearing that Peter Dunn voice? Oh, it's hard to tolerate. Oh.
Which includes clinical trials to establish evidence for the effectiveness of a product and for its safety for particular patient groups, Dunn said, which they do not have to do for vaccination, mind you. And they also don't do it for antidepressant drugs, mind you. But for cannabis, something that hasn't killed anybody in 10,000 years of recorded usage, oh, mate, we're going to have some trials, you know, just make sure it's safe.
Prescriptions for 3 months' supply will be allowed, rather than the 1 month that has been the rule. What is CBD good for? In 2015, Dunn approved the use of US-made CBD product Elixinol for Alex Renton, 19, who then frickin' died because the Ministry of Health and Peter Dunn took their sweet infant time getting his approval fast-tracked. Government and fast-tracked, I don't think those things belong in a sentence together. His mother, Rose Renton, had campaigned to be able to use medicinal cannabis in her son's treatment in the hope it would reduce mysterious seizures he was suffering and bring him out of a coma. Now, if anybody's seen a little YouTube video, Charlotte's Web, where they give a little girl who's giving 100 seizures a day or something like that, 100 seizures a day. You can imagine as a parent, you know, you're seeing your child go through that kind of thing every day. And then you go to the government and you say, hey, look, you guys have kept this drug illegal. This can stop my baby from having these seizures all day, every freaking day. You're destroying my life by keeping this stuff illegal and making it difficult to access. You might actually wind up killing my child because they couldn't access their medicine. Because you've got indoctrination, propaganda, and corporate interests to consider. What do I mean by corporate interests? Well, how many products can you make from the cannabis plant that are currently made from other sources involving oil, wood, plastics, and things of that nature? We're all oil derivatives anyway. About 50,000 different industrial products. You can make car paneling, fireproof doors, pet food, pet bedding, concrete. I mean, seriously. Anything you can frickin' think of that we use in the modern day that is made with poison and is sold at a huge profit with enormous environmental degradation can be made with cannabis without any of those negative consequences. Why is it illegal, I wonder? Competition. is a sin. Who said that? Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller, who's the creator of the Trilateral Commission, creator of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, no, sorry, that's David Rockefeller who did that. I'm talking about his dad. Incidentally, most of the people who are part of those big evil clubs are in Trump's cabinet. Oh, he's going to save you from the New World Order, is he? Oh, he's going to make America great again, is he? You brilliant researchers, you in the alternative media. Oh, you didn't totally mislead your audience at all just to get and jump on the winning bandwagon for the ratings, did you? You didn't do that at all, did you? In December 2016, Auckland woman Dr. Huhana Hickey received approval to use cannabis extract. I'm actually having her on in a couple of weeks, actually. Extract Tilray to help with treatment for multiple sclerosis. Now, she's in a wheelchair, and I met her at the cannabis protest, I think, in 2016. And she had to have myself and another guy help her up out of that wheelchair so she could get to the little microphone stand to speak. You know, the strength of this woman. Pretty remarkable that she go through that kind of suffering and have the pains and things that she does and then come out to protest and stand up to speak, you know, that kind of thing when it could be easier to just sit down. You know, the sacrifices that are made by the people in the cannabis activism community cannot be overestimated, nor can the potentials of the cannabis plant, nor can the harm that is being caused every single second of every single day that Peter Dunn keeps this plant illegal in this country. Every second, somebody with an illness that could be treated with cannabis is in pain because of Peter Dunn. Every moment, somebody dies when their life could have been saved with cannabis because of Peter Dunn. Every moment, a family is torn apart and destroyed when their breadwinner gets arrested with a 50 bag on him because of Peter Dunn. Sorry, I'm getting emotional about this, folks. It's a real personal issue for me because it's the reason why I am traumatized is because of the cannabis laws in this country, not because of the cannabis. Because being arrested for it will damage you a hell of a lot more than smoking a pound of it in a week. Because you can't smoke a pound in a night, mind you, because you have to smoke, what was it? You had to smoke 7 pounds in 60 seconds or something ridiculous like that in order to die from cannabis. And that means that by the time you smoked half an ounce, if you're a real hard smoker, that is, I couldn't do that. You fall asleep, okay? Ga-doomsh! Okay, that's the side effect of cannabis. Happy, hungry, thirsty, sleepy. Oh, man, this sounds really dangerous. What happened to you on your pharmaceutical drugs over there, mate? Well, I had seizures, I tried to kill myself, I tried to kill my loved ones, I had debilitating stomach cramps, I was bleeding out my asshole. You know, it was fine, bro. You know, that's an approved drug. Oh, mate. Also, last year, Dunn approved a non-pharmaceutical-grade cannabis product called Aceso? Calm Spray.
Aceso. Aceso, come over here, man.
For a patient with a severe case of Tourette's syndrome.
Kill Peter Dunn! Kill Peter Dunn!
And that's probably why they gave him the... crack me up. I do. In the 2016 submission, the Ministry of Health said Epidiolex, a pharmaceutical-grade CBD product, was undergoing clinical trials in the US in the hope it could be used to treat rare forms of epilepsy such as Dravet syndrome or Dravet syndrome. Now, research indicates that CBD would have several therapeutic applications. Some of the effects that have been reported to date include anti-seizure, neuroprotective, anti-inflammatory, analgesic, I don't know what analgesic? Holy Jesus. Antipsychotic and anti-anxiety effects, the ministry said. In other words, it could replace almost every single pharmaceutical drug
in existence.
What's the most profitable companies in the world, you ask? What? It turns out to be pharmaceutical companies, dollar for dollar, they're the most profitable business on earth. You know why? Because the shit that they give you costs nothing to produce and doesn't have any effect, and they don't even have to prove that it works, and they don't get prosecuted when they kill you or hurt you or destroy you, and their products are addictive, so you can't get off of them once you're on them. What drug has no commonalities with that entire structure? You guessed it, cannabis. But at the time, it said more clinical trials were needed to confirm its effectiveness.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Lord, spare me. I'm not religious, but my God.
We need more clinical trials.
Is 10,000 years of human history not good enough for you, Ken? I mean, where'd you get? A paper prepared by Dr. Keith Bedford last year for the Expert Advisory Committee on Drugs said there was limited evidence suggesting cannabis could be used to reduce medical treatment side effects. Oh, there's little evidence, is it? Is that by chance because the drug's illegal and you can't study things and prove that they work when they're
illegal?
Maybe. Maybe. That's the reason why they keep saying they need clinical trials all the time, which never happen and never produce any results and never get released to the public because it's frickin' illegal and you can't do it. Side effects such as nausea and vomiting during chemotherapy, which kills 96% of everybody who takes it. Look it up. It is the number one cause of death for cancer patients is chemotherapy. 50,000 New Zealand dollars around. And the New Zealand doctors who prescribe chemo, and only chemo as a preventative, and not preventative, but as a possible treatment. They don't call it a cure. They don't call it medicine. They call it a treatment. You know, like sewage treatment. You know, nausea, vomiting during chemotherapy, improved appetite in people with HIV/AIDS, and in the treatment of chronic pain and muscle spasms. Now, I think that all of these things are pretty straightforward, right? It works for nearly everything. It's a panacea. Okay? What's a panacea? Okay, well, in cannabis's case, it's a transmutable molecule. All right? Transmute means it changes into something else. So, you're born with cannabis receptors in your cells, right? From birth. There's cannabinoids in your mother's milk. Okay, what does it do? The cannabinoid system in your body, the endocannabinoid system, cannabinoids from within, regulates everything. Okay, it regulates the construction of your cells, regulates how your skin replaces and heals itself, regulates how your liver functions, and so on. Everything in your entire body is regulated by your endocannabinoid system. It is a part of the reason why we seem to change our physiology so much quicker when we're put into different situations. All right? Animals have this too. So what happens then when you get a transmutable molecule like the cannabinoid molecule, or a cannabidiol molecule, or a tetrahydrocannabidiol molecule, THC, is the body sends a signal from its cell. Let's say you're deficient in magnesium, for example, just a random example. The cell will send a signal to that cannabinoid molecule and tell it, I need magnesium. The cannabinoid molecule will then readjust and morph its entire chemical structure and then insert itself into the cell, its cell receptor, and inject a synthetic form of whatever the cell is craving into it. Why do you think cannabis works for frickin' pretty much everything? Pretty much everything. You got cancer? Rick Simpson cannabis oil. Gone. You got multiple sclerosis? You can barely walk or whatever? Smoke a joint. Gone. Walking faster than I can. All right? And I'm not joking about this. My mate Barry, he has multiple sclerosis. As one time we were walking up Queen Street together, and he was like looking, going slow and really hard, really actually finding it really quite tough to go up the street. And so I gave him a cone, and I practically had to jog to keep up with the bastard. I mean, seriously, stuff works that well. I wish people would be a little bit more open-minded about this, because there's so many people with MS, a lot of people that I know personally, actually, who refuse to use cannabis to treat their condition because of the propaganda from people like Peter Dunn. You know, these people suffer on a daily basis because of the lies, in no small part, of Peter Dunn. Right? And now they're saying, oh, we're going to give you this and everything. No, they freaking not. Not while he's still alive. Okay? Not while he's still alive, you know? Over my dead body. People will live over his dead body. Have I been making too many references to Peter Dunn's death in this broadcast? I certainly hope so. A product called Sativex, a spray derived from strains of cannabis containing a mixture of THC and CBD, had been approved by MedSafe in this country as an add-on treatment for improvement of symptoms and patterns with moderate to severe spasticity due to MS who had not responded adequately to other antispasticity medication. Now, the thing about this is Sativex, $500 for a monthly supply, okay? And it's the same thing with this cannabidiol products and things that they're trying to give up. These people who are sick and in many cases can't work because they're so sick and wouldn't be able to earn a living without this medication – dude, they make the medication prohibitively expensive on purpose, okay? If you want a dangerous painkiller, let's say Panadol, kills more people in this country than alcohol, Verge. You know, I'm just kidding. Nothing kills people more people in New Zealand than alcohol. 1,000 people a year. Well, apart from the medical industry, of course, but that's beside the point. That's a side issue. So what they do is they make it prohibitively expensive, and then the government gives subsidies to a whole bunch of other scumbaggery companies and medications and things like that that kill people, okay? So that you can't afford to purchase the stuff that'll help you, but you'll be given the stuff that will kill you for free because they stole your tax money to do so. New Zealand. Love ya. How about manufacturing CBD products in New Zealand? Not in a hurry, it would seem. According to Dunn, the law only allows domestic cultivation and manufacture of cannabis-based products for clinical trials. I'm hamstringed by the law. I'm only a parliamentarian that passes laws on a daily basis. I don't know what I could possibly do about that. Just die! Peter Dunn, okay, I don't pray. I'm not a Christian. I'm not religious at all. I tried to be sick. God, please help Peter Dunn to meet you quicker. Just like today, preferably tomorrow.
It doesn't matter, as long as it's soon.
Thank you. I'm in. Now, so it will be up to doctors to decide who can have CBD products and what for? Yes. And Dunn said they needed to make informed decisions. Doctors make an informed decision. Like, for example, reading a vaccine insert, you know, might be qualified as making some kind of informed decision. You know, oh, it's got side effects including death and autism. Oh, on the label, you say? On the Gardasil? And we're going to give that to kids?
Yep, it's informed consent.
All right, bugger. Is it subsidized by people's tax money?
Yep.
Absolutely. So I can give this incredibly poisonous, dangerous, untested product that is known to kill kids to them for free?
Yep, absolutely.
And you'll spend taxpayer money on huge propaganda campaigns to brainwash the public into fear of having diseases in order to get them the vaccines again?
Oh, absolutely.
Mate, it's just informed consent all over. Informed decisions like a motherfucker. Just like they did for all medicines. Doctors making informed decisions like they do with all medicines. Oh, I'm so disrespectful. If a doctor does not think there is adequate clinical evidence that the potential risks outweigh the potential benefits, or that there simply is not enough information to be assured of the composition and quality of a particular product, they should not prescribe it. And guess what happens when you keep a drug illegal so that clinical trials can't be conducted? And make the law so that you can't grow any weed in New Zealand to supply anybody either. Well, then they can't be assured that the composition or quality of the particular product is going to be prescribed. You know, one hand inside the other. Oh, God. I'm just thinking a lot of all the people who are suffering right now because they don't have their cannabis. Right, think about it, bro. I need my medicine. I want to live without pain, excruciating pain that impedes me from living my life and having this thing called quality of life, which doctors apparently don't give two flying F's about in this country. Quality of life, you say? What's that? Will the government fund CBD products? Anyone can make an application to PharmAct to fund a cannabis-based product or products, Dunn said, which meaning no. No. Okay. They are constitutionally incapable of telling the truth. All right. And we're given a frickin' straight answer. Application to PharmAct. Just pass the buck. Not my responsibility. I'm the Associate Minister of Health. I had an agreement 10 years in a row with every single successive government to not change the cannabis laws. And who are they now putting in charge of to regulate the cannabis laws so that people can get their cannabis? The man who kept it illegal this whole frickin' time and is dragging his feet like a frickin' corpse chained to a frickin' chariot. I wish I could be calmer. I wish I had a lot more positive outlook, but unfortunately I have this thing called experience. On to another article now from nzdoctor.co.nz. We only have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast, don't we? How long is this article? Not that long. Rail on fluoride. Oh, God. It's just that, oh my God, okay. I'm going to read you what I just read with my eyes. Okay. Health Minister Jonathan Coleman and Associate Minister, Health Minister Peter Dunn. All right. Those two names together. Okay. They're like the Abbott and Costello of scumbaggery in the health sector of New Zealand. All right.
Without compare.
And they're just like a tag team of scumbags. All right. Here's the headline. 12 million to fluoridate more drinking water.
Yep, that's right.
Hey, New Zealand, you've got the highest house prices, you've got the highest homeless population per capita, nobody will be able to afford to buy a home, your food prices are amongst the highest in the OECD. We're just going to spend $12 million of your taxpayers to give you a level 6 biotoxin delivered into your frickin' water supply. You know, just,
why not? Why not?
Budget 2017 has committed $12 million over 4 years to fund the infrastructure needed to fluoridate more drinking water, says Health Sinister Jonathan Coleman and Associate Health Sinister Peter Dunn. Quote, while New Zealand's oral health has improved dramatically over the last 30 years, we still have high rates of preventable tooth decay, says Dr. Coleman. Because we didn't adopt the Scottish Child Smile program that forces the kids to learn about nutrition and their parents and supervises brushing of their teeth and gives them free dental visits and they've got better teeth than ours. What's the New Zealand solution of that?
I'll just dump more chemical waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry into people's drinking water. You know, what could possibly go frickin' wrong?
Public drinking water currently supplies about 85% of the population. Of those on public water supplies, 50% receive fluoridated water. And 54%. And that's because, you know, Fluoride Action Network managed to convince a couple of councils to get that stuff out of there, you know, using this thing called
evidence.
Increasing access to fluoridated water will improve oral health. And no, it won't, because there's no evidence of any kind to prove conclusively that fluoride has any improvement on teeth. Okay. Even the frickin' CDC. Right, who are the ones who say that this is the greatest health achievement of the 20th century, admit that it doesn't do anything if you swallow it. What do the sinisters of health want to do about that fact, on the other hand? Sweep it under the frickin' carpet. Frickin' believable. And mean fewer costly trips to the dentist, as opposed to the dental fluorosis that gets caused by water fluoridation that dentists are now making more money at fixing than they are tooth decay, which is caused by sugary products, which Peter Dunn has no plans on educating the public about, you know, how sugar's bad for your teeth. You know, apparently the public doesn't know this, partly because the Ministry of Health doesn't tell them, and they take money from the sugar industry, most likely, and campaign donations. One can only hope. This change would benefit over 1.4 million New Zealanders who live in areas where network community water supplies are not currently fluoridated, okay, which means they're going to forcibly fluoridate everybody because they're passing a new law that, what was it? Oh, I'll just continue reading this. Budget 2017 funding commitment will support the implementation of legalization currently before the House, says Mr. Dunn. The Health Fluoridation of Drinking Water Amendment Bill recognizes that water fluoridation is a health-related issue and moves the decision-making process from local councils to DHBs. Okay, local councils, fully elected, accountable to elections, right? DHBs, partially elected, mostly appointed, and have to follow the mandates of the Ministry of Health. Oh, it's a health issue, is it? Now, is it by chance illegal under the Geneva Convention and the Nuremberg Law Code I wouldn't say illegal. They're not laws. They're just general guidelines. Don't poison people. Don't kill them without consent. You know, those kind of things, you know, sound like pretty reasonable rules. Can you be prosecuted for breaking them on the other hand?
No!
And I've already gone over this as well, okay? It's mass fluoridation by stealth, okay? That's what these people do. And when they release these press releases, you just see to yourself, okay, what kind of BS are they going to go, oh, look, they're making a claim and provide no evidence. Oh, they're making another claim and provide no evidence. Oh, they're making another claim and provide no evidence as well, blah, 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 blah. And just repeat, just forever, endlessly. I'm sick of these people. You know, I mean, I'm a real person. I like having real conversations where that actually go somewhere, where information actually gets exchanged, listened to on both sides, that kind of thing. But when you're a propagandist and the entirety of your mental faculty is dedicated to lying
so that you can protect the amount of power that you currently have and did not earn and do not use responsibly. I got no respect for these people. None. Zero. And it's what's really strange is that I kowtow to them when I'm with them in person. Oh, thank you, Minister, for saying this and blah, 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 and for coming here. I've only got one question or whatever. Maybe I should just yell at these people next time. Maybe I should just take a megaphone so that I don't have to wait for them to pass around the microphone just so I can ask a question, which he won't answer. Maybe disrupting everything that these people say while they're saying it. Just like I'm doing here, you know, reading out their lies and exposing them line by line. Maybe that's the way to do it, to show these people that not only will they not be listened to, they won't be believed, and they will not be respected, and they will be interrupted. And if they want to come to public meetings to lie to people, they're going to find a little bit more than they bargained for. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who do listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show regularly. I really appreciate you, you know, sharing these shows around. And a lot of the Kiwis that support me who recognize the value of this show and how unique it is in the New Zealand atmosphere to have people telling the truth like this without completely compromised media and ultimately compromised alternative media as well. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and please start up a regular donation into that Kiwi Bank, New Zealanders. $1 a week, anything you want. See you again sometime.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology, they have all these great things that they're gonna do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network and we just need that so much.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.